Great. Today's reading is on page 972. It's Matthew 7, verses 21 to 29. Great. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he had taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
And before we look at this passage together, let's ask for the Lord's help that we understand what Jesus is saying. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you're not the sort of God who leaves us guessing about what you're like, that you've given us your word. And we pray now that by your Spirit you would help us to take in what you're saying to us. We pray that we wouldn't just hear what you're saying, but that we would put it into practice. Amen. Now, I want to tell you about two builders. First, there is a guy called Bert. Bert the Builder. He's up there. That's Bert. And then there is his friend, Robert, who's known to his friends as Bob the Builder. And there he is. And Bert and Bob, they go to building school together. And at building school, they learn all the things you need to learn to be a real builder. They learn how to make a nice mug of tea, for example. They learn how to use a concrete mixer. They learn how to carry bricks, which is extraordinary. They learn how to build a wall, which is handy when you're building houses. And most importantly of all, they learn how to lay a foundation. And it's what the teachers at building school keep saying. When it comes to building a house, the most important thing, get the foundation right. If you don't get the foundation right, your house is just going to go toppling over. So Bert and Bob, they graduate from builder's school, and each of them starts to build a house, and they do a great job. Here is the house that Bob built. What a brilliant, that's his first house he ever built. Brilliant house. And here's the house that Bert built. Not bad at all. Good house. You'd be happy with that if that were your house. Two fine-looking houses. But then one weekend, a storm brews up. And the rains come down and the floods come up. And Bob's house stands firm. There it is, Bob's house still standing after all that storm and all that rain and all those floods coming up. But Bert's house falls with a great big crash. At builder's school, do you remember the most important thing they taught you? Do you remember the most important thing? What was the most important thing they taught Bob and Bert at builder's school? Say that again. Foundations. Foundations. You've got to get the foundations right. And you see, Bob had heard them say that, and he'd acted on what he heard. He put it into practice. So he spent days digging really good foundations, and it was very hard work, but it was worth it. Because it meant when the storms came, his house didn't come crashing down. But Bert, you see, he'd heard all that stuff about the importance of building a good foundation. He'd written it down. He'd put it in a file, but he didn't think it was that important. After all, you don't see the foundations. I mean, nobody buys a house going, oh, I like the look of those foundations. He thought, well, skip the foundations. Let's just get on with building the house. But when the storm came, disaster. And Jesus is saying a very striking thing, because he's using this story to tell us there is a storm coming. And in the Bible, that storm is often a picture of God's judgment. Which means these are words that pull us right up short. Because Jesus says one day we will all stand before our Maker. And he will decide whether we are for real or not. Will the house that we built, will the life that we lived stand? Or will it all come tumbling down? And what Jesus is saying is you might see two very similar houses. They look, both of them look like fine houses. You might get two very similar people. They both go along to church. They both call themselves Christians. They both give to charity. And their lives look very similar, but Jesus says, yes, but when the storm comes, then you'll see the truth about the sort of foundations that they were building on. Listen to what he says, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. You see what he's saying? He's saying, don't just hear my sermon on how to be a real Christian. Put what I say into practice. If you want to be in my kingdom forever, you've got to get the foundation right today. Get the foundation right today. Let's think about what Jesus means by that. He's been describing what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And over the last few weeks, we've seen that living in the kingdom of God means we will forgive the people who hurt us. We will love the people we don't much like. In our hearts, God will be more important to us than money and things. We won't write people off and make them feel small. All in all, living in God's kingdom means living as his children, loving him as our father, wanting to please him, caring about the things he cares about, wanting to talk to him, and living with him as our father means we won't worry about the future so much because we'll trust that he will take care of us day by day. And the fake Christian hears all this and doesn't really take it in. Doesn't really put into practice what Jesus is saying. So when it comes to being in the kingdom of God, some people say it all depends on the rules we keep. It all depends on the rules we keep. So the fake Christian listens to the Sermon on the Mount and goes, well, I don't know what all this knowing God as your father is about. It sounds a bit far-fetched, but the rest is easy enough. If I want to be part of the kingdom of God, it just all depends on the rules we keep. So that shouldn't be too hard for someone like me. So I'm just going to go away and I'm going to pull up my socks and I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to be better than other people. And then I'll be in the kingdom of God forever. Now, what are some of the rules, do you think, that people try and keep to make themselves good, to get them into the kingdom of God? What are some of the things that people do? There's a hand way at the back there. Go on, what are some of the things people do? They try and be honest. Yep, they say, I'm going to be honest. That'll be a good foundation. I'm going to be honest. What other things do people do? Just honesty. What are some of the other things? I think some people think, well, if I go along to church, that'll be good. I'm keeping the rules. I go along to church. That'll be very good. That'll help me to get into the kingdom of God. God will be happy with that. What is anyone, anything else you can think of? Down the front, people on the benches. Go on. Pray. Yep. I'm the sort of person, I say my prayers. That'll be very good, won't it? You think that'll get me into the kingdom of God? That'll mean I'm pretty safe and sound. What other things? Can anyone else think of one more thing? You've had a go at the... Go on, someone here. Yes, I'm going to try really hard to be a nice person. And there we go. I've built my foundation of all the things I'm going to do that means I'll be safe. I'll be in the kingdom of God. I built my house on that foundation. I'm saying... Who knows whether this will work? I'm saying those are the things that are going to get me into the kingdom of God. And then the storm comes. And they're thinking, it's all right, I'll be fine when the storm comes, because I've done all those things. I'll be okay. I've kept the rules. But what happens when the storms come? What's happened, everyone? What has happened? The house has fallen down, you see. That was pretty dramatic for the people at the back there. An amazing explosion of houses and sand and a big crash, wasn't it? Brilliant. Why do you think the house fell? Go on, Jack. It did not have good foundations. It was built on the sand of all those things that we think we need to do. And you see, the Pharisees, they were the best rule keepers in town. And Jesus says you could keep the rules as much as the Pharisees, but that's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. You have got to get the right foundation. And you see verse 21. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. See, not everyone who says the right words will get into the kingdom of heaven. And look at this, verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And that is the issue. Do you know Jesus? Being in the kingdom of God doesn't depend on keeping all the rules. It all depends on a relationship with Jesus. Do you know him? And so Jesus says it all depends on relationship with him. And you say, but how do you go from rules to relationship? Knowing Jesus all starts when we ask him for help. When I first arrived in Bristol, I registered with a doctor, a guy called Dr. Rossdale. And I didn't know him. I never spoke to him. I never took any advice from him. I had no contact with him for years. He was just a name, Dr. Rossdale. And then one day I got ill. And it started with an earache. And I thought, well, you know, it's just an earache. You don't ring a doctor just because you have an earache, do you? Mm-hmm. So I lay down for a day or two with a hot water bottle around the side of my head. And it got worse. And it started to feel as someone had got the end of a wooden spoon and was ramming it into my ear like that. And again, I thought, I'm a grown man. This is just a bit of pain. I can cope with this. Don't need to go, don't ring a doctor about that. And then I remember I was looking at a digestive biscuit that had fallen onto the floor, and the digestive biscuit started to move. I thought, funny. And I thought there were some ants carrying it across the carpet. And then I realized that the carpet was moving. And then I realized that the whole floor was moving. And it felt like we were on board a ship and we were in the storm. And the whole house was going up and down and up and down. I was all over the place with dizziness. And eventually a friend made us ring the doctor. And Dr. Rossdale came round in 20 minutes flat and said I had to go to hospital. And I hate hospitals. I mean, just the smell of them makes me feel a little bit faint. And Dr. Rossdale started talking about these really horrible things involving tubes and needles and... And you know, I didn't even care. I just felt so grim, I just went along with what he said. I just put myself in his hands totally. See, now, Dr. Rossdale was not just a name. I know him. He's a wonderful doctor. He looked after me, and he cared for me, and he made me well. But knowing him all started when I asked him for help. And people who know Jesus are the people who've asked him for help. It's very interesting how Jesus describes the people who are real Christians. Remember back in chapter 5, Jesus said, people in my kingdom are the sort of people who are poor in spirit. They're the sort of people who have nothing to offer God. They're poor. Or he says, people in my kingdom are the sort of people who mourn over their sin. When you mourn, that's when you cry because you're sad. So he's saying the sort of people in my kingdom are not the sort of people who walk around thinking, I'm so happy that I'm better than all those other people. I keep the rules. No, they mourn. They cry because they're sad, because they do things they wish they didn't do. And he says, the people in my kingdom are people who hunger for righteousness. Righteousness is about being like God. And when you hunger for something, it's because you haven't got it. And Jesus says, people in my kingdom are the sort of people who know they're not like God, but they wish they were. Isn't that odd? Isn't that really odd? That the people in his kingdom are not the people who think, I can keep all the rules. I'm better than most people. Yay. The people in his kingdom are the sort of people who think, but I can't forgive the people who hurt me. I don't really love the people who annoy me. I do live for money and things, and I am judgmental, and I do make people feel small, and I wish I was closer to my Father in heaven. But in other words, people who are real Christians are people who hear the Sermon on the Mount and say, if I'm going to live like this, I am going to need help. Help. And the whole reason Jesus came was to help us. Do anyone know what the name Jesus means? Any of my colleagues on the benches here, do you know what the name Jesus means? Annabelle, do you know what it means? It's Savior. That's right. Savior means rescuer. Do you remember the angel told Mary to call her baby Jesus because he will be a Savior. He will save people. He will rescue them. And Jesus is standing on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's not saying, I've come to bring rules for you all to try harder and keep. He's saying, I'm God's long-promised king, and I've come to rescue you. So don't walk away from me. Don't think you can get by without me just by gritting your teeth and trying harder. He's saying, no, you need me to help you. So turn to me and put your whole life in my hands. That's what a real Christian is, like me and Dr. Rossdale. I put myself in his hands. And a real Christian is just someone who's put themselves in Jesus' hands and said, will you help me? Let's have a go at this one. Here is another high-tech visual aid. Different foundation this time. This foundation is a stone, and it's a stone that stands for Jesus Christ. And here's someone who builds their life on Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the one they're depending on to get into the kingdom of God. And the storms come down and the floods come up. And what happens? Just the brick gets wet. What about the house, though? I can keep going. See, I'm that confident. What happens to the house?
Nothing.
It stands secure. Stand secure, phew wee. Being in the kingdom of God. What?
On top of my house.
What? No, I think that's quite enough water. I think that's about the right amount. That makes the point very powerfully. Very powerfully indeed. But do you see? Just trust me. Trust me. Jesus is the rock, and if we build our life on him, the house doesn't get blown away. The rains come down, the floods come up, and we'll stand. And you say, well, why? Why is Jesus such a rock-solid foundation? Well, if being accepted by God depends on keeping the rules, it means there are good days when I keep the rules, there are bad days when I don't. Which means I never know whether I'm accepted by God or not. And the fact is my bad days outweigh my good days, which means I'll never get in. If it depends on the pile of sand that I'm making. But God says, I've sent Jesus to rescue you, and it all depends on him. And I can have good days, and I can have bad days, and I can go up, and I can go down. But God says, I accept you because of Jesus. And he doesn't go up and down. He stays the same. And he says, on the day that the storm comes, on the day of God's judgment, I will stand, not because I've kept the rules, but because I have depended on Jesus. I'm standing on him. And I think this comes as a surprise to so many people who read the Sermon on the Mount. Because they think Jesus has come to bring some sort of system of rules that you've got to keep in order to make God love us. And Jesus says, no, 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 I've come to bring a relationship with God as your Father, who loves his children with a love that will never stop loving us. It's not rules, it's relationship. Isn't this such a relief? Many of us, as we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, have felt very exposed by it. It's made us think, well, perhaps we're not good enough. Perhaps we don't keep the rules well enough. And it's such a relief to be reminded, no, that's not what it depends on. And if during the last few weeks we have felt kind of poor in spirit, it's made us mourn our sin, it's made us hunger for righteousness, if it's shown us just how much we depend on Jesus, how much we need him, then Jesus says, we're blessed, blessed are the poor in spirit. If it's reminded us how we need to keep placing our lives in his hands, if it's taught us to live every day as those who need to start each day saying, Jesus, I need your help. If it's got us asking, please make me more like you, that's the real Christian life. That shows we've got it. Maybe that there are some of us thinking, well, what is all this talk of needing his help? I don't want to be told I'm poor in spirit. I'm fine. You know, I mean, I'm a good person. I'm better than most. I give to charity. And Jesus warns us. He's very stark. He says, what foundation are you building on? You think it depends on rules? Well, the life you are building will come crashing down on the day you stand before God. What it all depends on is relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, have you put your life in his hands? And one way to tell is to ask yourself this question. If God said to you today, why should you be part of my kingdom? What would you answer? Because the answer will show you what foundation you're building on. And the fake Christian says, a bit like the people in verse 22, says, look, well, I'm in because I kept the rules. I've done all the right things. I go to church. And the real Christian says, I'm in because Jesus rescued me. It's tough words that Jesus ends this sermon with. But I take it he warns us because he cares about us and he wants us to know him. And he's saying, if we don't realize we need rescuing, it means we'll never turn to him and ask for help. Which means all this talk of God as our Father who loves us will seem very strange. If we never asked Jesus for help, he'll just be a name we know. But we won't know him, which means we'll never be safe. I can't see into people's hearts, obviously, but maybe you're thinking, actually, do you know, I would love to know God like this. I'd love to know him. I'd love to have a relationship, not just rules. Well, if that's you, today would be a great day to turn to Jesus and ask for his help. And the way to do that is the way you start all relationships, by talking. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And if it's a good prayer for you to pray, why don't you echo it in your heart? Okay, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I can't get into the kingdom of God by myself. I thank you that you came to rescue me. I put my life into your hands. Please, will you give me a relationship with God as my Father? Now and forever. Amen. if that was a prayer that you found yourself echoing in your heart, you probably want to find out more about that relationship, what it means. Well, if that's you, do come and see me at the end. I'd love to chat. And there's a couple of little booklets that I could give you for you to take home. Now, what are we going to do next? Well, we want to be the sort of church where people are allowed to ask questions. So we're just going to spend 2 or 3 minutes to reflect on what we've been hearing. There's a question that will come up on the wall in a moment to help us do that. You either just think quietly to yourself, or if the person next to you looks friendly, think along with them. But don't bother them if they don't look friendly. And while we're doing that, you might want to brew up a question or two to ask of me, anything I said that wasn't very clear or wasn't very helpful. So I reckon we've got 2 or 3 minutes just to reflect on this question with someone sitting near you, if they're up for that, and then I'm ready for your questions. Okay, let's pause there. Do continue those conversations over tea. But has anyone got a question they would like to ask or a comment they would like to make? Who's got a question they'd like to ask? Who'd like to kick us off? And I'm going to ask who's got long legs. Austin, you've got quite long legs. Will you be the runner? He has got quite long legs. Jack. Jack's there with a question.
This on? Yeah, great. Thanks very much, Mike. If it's all about relationship, why in verse 24 does Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice? So I can see how it is about relationship. Why is there such a strong emphasis on Jesus' part on doing something?
Yeah, did everyone hear that question? It's partly because in a real relationship, you do things. Those are not opposites. It's not, I'm just having a relationship with my wife. I'm not going to do anything she says to please her because I'm having a relationship. Yeah? My doing it is how I express the relationship. But the particular thing he's telling us to do in the Sermon on the Mount is recognize how much we need him. But of course, doing that relationship will then mean living out the Sermon on the Mount. But the foundation is, help me. Does that help? Thank you. Who's got another? A question to ask or a comment they'd like to make? James here, have you got a question you'd like to ask? You've got a slightly cheeky grin on your face. Ask me over tea. Let's sing. And it's a song, it's slightly old-fashioned language. Have a look at it, though. Look at the first verse and the last line. Slightly old-fashioned language, but it's talking about people who've fled to Jesus for refuge. People who've turned to Jesus saying, you're my only hope. Will you help me? And people who've done that, well, when the storms come, we will be safe. Let's stand and sing.